Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 10 of the Tag Podcast. Yeah, episode 10. Can't believe we got a whole 10 episodes.
Double digit.
Woo!
Only had double digits in the amount of viewers. Well, this
I'm sure. You know, the thing you've got to think about is we've got to think about the future listeners who have been drawn in. And going back to the back catalogue,
yeah,
which by the time they're listening will be selling for $4.95 each.
We'll chat the price up just because we know that they're going to want to hear it. So
yeah.
So screw you all. You know what? I'm not even loyal to you. We're doing this for us and nobody else, just us. You should feel privileged to hear my voice. You know what? One day, I think someone's going to take me seriously when they say shit like that. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about the internet and some of our favourite obscure things from there that couldn't really exist without it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think the easiest way to start off is, where was your first experience? Not just with the internet, because obviously it's going to be like Google or something like that, but you know, was there a particular website or a particular video, perhaps, that made you think, oh, this could work?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of the first website I sort of frequented. I remember at school getting very excited about MSN Messenger, but
everyone had that. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone had it, but, you know, then it turned into sort of weird Borg thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, there was nothing but emoticons. And people that had, it got so bad. People, you'd have emoticons for individual letters.
Yeah.
But not every letter. So they'd
be one of those people.
They'd write, oh, you bastard. You'd write a sentence. And, you know, there'd be, in this sentence you're trying to read, there'd be three big flashing things that you had to try and incorporate. Oh, you dick.
I was even worse than that. I'd go on other people's, because I was quite good, and you know, I'm still quite good with computers and little things like that. So I'd go on other people's accounts, like my friends, you know, I'd go around the house and then as soon as I got a chance, in the same way that a normal person would now go on someone's Facebook and freight them, I would set like horrible emoticons. To random letters.
That is devious. Then
I'd also do it for random words as well. Like, and was generally a dancing llama. I was just thinking about it.
That is awful.
To the point where me and a few friends, we just sort of open massive, massive chat rooms. Well, not chat rooms, but, group chats with like 20 to 30 of us in there, and then the game was who can put the most emoticons up and make as many people sort of not just leave but actually sort of like crash their MSN. Computer couldn't tolerate, and so we had like these strobe like the same dancing llama but a strobe light dancing llama, and we just sort of put about 300 of them, because obviously all you have to do is hold the letter and it'll just keep doing them.
Yeah.
And so we had...
You really are the scum of the earth.
I really was a dick when I was younger. really was. But yeah, okay, so MSN.
Okay,
yeah,
no, that's probably the first thing. I remember properly going back to and checking sort of most days and going back and forth to, there was a really, really old sort of Flash cartoon website which had all these sort of weird stuff, a bit like a sort of a beginner Newgrounds. It was called I think it was dc8p.com. It was, I think the DC8P was meant to, I think the letters sort of looked out were meant to make a sort of face. It was meant to be a sort of long emoticon of a guy wearing a cap. And it had these weird, very short Rubbish Little Cartoons, and then there was a few. It was quite weird, the stuff that was on there. Because it was the early days of the internet, it had a couple of sort of sex videos as well.
Yeah.
Not full on sort of porn videos, but I remember there was a video of a guy filming himself in a ski, filming as he was going up in a ski lift, and then turning round and filming a couple in the ski lift behind him, the girl of whom was giving the guy a blowjob.
As you do.
As you do in a ski lift. So yeah, that, I think that was the first website I really, really remember.
Okay.
Oh, and Neopets. Neopets, sorry.
I was never into Neopets, you know. It was never something I got into. I mean, obviously, at a bit of a later age, I hit Newgrounds, and I stayed on Newgrounds for a good couple of years, I'd say.
Yeah.
But before that, I remember it was like, I don't know, I was probably in year 8, maybe year 9, which was probably closer to year 8. And I had a friend, Matt, who had the internet. He had a computer, and I didn't have the internet. My mum hadn't, but we hadn't even got it then. Like, it was never something we really sort of needed. And so my friend Matt just, I'd go around to his house every now and then, and he'd go, oh, you need to see this website. It was called rathergood.com. And rathergood.com is, you know what, there's actually a few sort of like well-known videos from it. I've just got to think of one now. Magical Trevor, do you know who Magical Trevor is?
Magical Trevor.
Yeah, everyone Magical Trevor.
The things that he does.
It's the guy who made that video, is his website.
Oh.
So he did like, I think he did 4 or 5 Magical Trevors.
Yeah, no, that's what's his name? Yeah. Weevil, isn't it?
Yeah.
I still follow him on YouTube.
Actually, no. No, you know what? I'm telling a lie. That wasn't on rathergood.com. That was on weevilstuff.com. That was his first proper website. It was weevilstuff and it was rathergood.com. Rathergood.com was actually, have you seen the adverts for the milkshake crusher?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's like the cat that photos and he manipulates photos and makes you look like the playing guitar and things like that. And, oh, well, it's a crusher. Like, that was his website. And he did a video called Mr. Stabby. And Mr. Stabby was great. Have you seen Mr. Stabby?
I haven't seen Mr. Stabby.
Okay. It's only about 40 seconds long. The intro of Mr. Stabby just waving his knife, you know. Mr. Stabby's at the swimming pool, and it's just one shot of him walking across. And in the background, there's like porcelain tiles of a swimming pool changing room, and there's a sign saying something like "No running, no diving." And Mr. Stabby walks past, and then pause, and then loads screaming. Then Mr. Stabby walks the other way again, quite leisurely at his own pace, with a big smile on his face, and then a lifeguard comes up behind him, follows him, stops at the sign, then you hear some scribbling. As the lifeguard walks away, and he says, "Also no drowning puppies." That's the whole video. That was the first Mr. Stabby.
Oh, dear.
That was the quality of videos that you got on rathergood.com. Mm. And they were very juvenile. But they were, the year 8 kid, that Weevil stuff, that was,
Sounds a bit like, did you ever frequent fatpie.com?
Which, I have heard of it.
Which is the birthplace of Salad Fingers.
I was just about to say Salad Fingers.
And Burnt Face Man.
I have seen it a long time ago, because I saw Salad Fingers on Newgrounds, not Fat Pie, but I knew I must have gone there from that.
Yeah.
Salad Fingers was weird, wasn't it?
It was bizarre. Bizarre.
It's funny you should say that, actually. I was talking to my dad recently. My dad likes YouTube, and he'd found Salad Fingers not too long ago, and he thought it was hilarious, but then he told
my mum about it when we were out recently, and I was just like, what the hell is this thing? It's like, oh no, you really need to watch it. And you know what my mum's like? My mum's like, that just sounds fucking weird.
Yeah, well, she's... So I go through moods of, I never know quite how to feel about Salad Fingers. Sometimes I remember when I first discovered it, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, it was hilarious. It was amazing.
I think at the minute I'm in a sort of, it's an interesting art style, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
But no, it is good. And again, he also did a series, I don't know if you saw his other one, Burnt Face Man. It was the same animation style, but a little less sort of weird and creepy. But it was basically about a really rubbish superhero called Burnt Face Man, and
yeah.
I think basically all he could really do was fly. And he'd fly around and give interviews to cameras where they'd always sort of ask him really horrible searching questions, and he said, no, that's not true. Where have you heard these things?
I'm gonna have to give him.
I'm
the same guy as Salad Fingers.
Yeah, his website was fat-pie.com, which was I don't, God knows when it, if he's updated any time recently. I'm just checking. Oh God, I think he did a new Salad Fingers last year.
Oh really?
It's still going.
Jesus Christ.
Oh dear.
You know what I'd love to see continue? As many people would, you know.
Yeah.
The Laser Collection.
Oh, Laser Collection.
Because I think it was you and Chris at university that introduced me to the Laser Collection. And for a good month, we would just sort of, every chance we got, interrupting our work to shout Dr. Octodonopus. and recently, Sophie, just out of the blue, just shouted, Dr. Octopus, and I went, oh, nearly, nearly.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
Nearly.
At least she's trying. Good for her.
Yeah, she's taking interest. I'm on Fat Pie now as well. Jesus Christ, Salad Finger Toys. Did not know there was Salad Finger Toys.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know what? This Fat Pie, like, literally, this exact layout is exactly the same as rathergood.com.
Oh, well, there you go. Probably. I think it's one of those very early web designs. Yeah. It's not changed in sort of as far as I can tell from when I first went on it.
Yeah, I can see the quality of the animation of Salad Fingers is somewhat better, clearly.
Yeah.
I've just seen a lot of blood there. It's reminding me of Happy Tree Friends now.
Oh, Happy Tree Friends! Wonderful. I think some friends, shout out to my friend Phoebe, who introduced me to that. Superb.
I found Happy Tree Friends in a very strange way. Had no idea what it was until this was back in the days of Blockbuster.
Mm.
And my mum took us to Blockbusters and said to me and my sister, you know, all right, you can each choose one DVD each. And my sister goes off and finds some, you know, piece of crap. There's me, and I'm a bit picky when it comes to choosing shit to watch and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking around, you know, I could spend hours in HMV and CX and not buy anything just because I look at things and go, oh, I'm going to watch that one day. Never get around to watching it. And I stumbled across this cartoon, Happy Tree Friends, on DVD, Volume 1. It was rated 18, but there's no indication of why it was rated 18 on the cover. And I got it because I was just like, I need to see why this is.
Why it's 18, yeah.
And of course, back then, this was the time when I don't think I had the internet very long. I certainly haven't got a smartphone or anything like that, so I could just Google it in the shop. You know, I had to take it online to watch it. I probably watched it, you know, I had it for 7 days. I probably watched it about 8 or 9 times. Just like, about an hour's worth of Happy Tree Friends, just a collection of the best all the best in volume.
That's one of the things I love about Happy Tree Friends is, you know, people can tell you about it, but you never until you've actually started watching an episode.
Yeah.
And it suddenly turns to the violent bit.
Yeah.
You never quite see it coming.
Yeah.
You never quite see it turning that way.
I think the best thing about Happy Tree Friends is even if you have watched, you know, a fair few episodes of it, you know, you turn on a new episode of Happy Tree Friends, you know it's going to end badly, but you just don't know. You just don't know who's going to do it. You don't know what's going to cause it. And even when it starts to happen, you're still like, well, I didn't see that coming. That's just, oh, God, what?
I know, sometimes an episode will take a completely different turn from what you're expecting.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they'll tease you with a few disaster could happen.
And then
it'll turn out fine before someone will suddenly get crushed by this or that. And this whole podcast, I'm sure I'm going to be sort of just saying, oh, I need to go and watch that now. I need to go and watch that now.
But Happy Tree Friends is on Netflix now as well, so it's not like just new ones either. They're just exclusively for Netflix. They're still the best ones sort of thing.
I'm going to make a little list for myself now.
Good, yeah. But so before we did this podcast last week, we spoke and we set each other. We just sort of mentioned to each other that maybe we'd like. There's one thing that I love from the internet, and there's one thing that you like from the internet that we've recommended to each other to watch over the week.
Yeah.
So you recommended that I watch Zero Punctuation.
Yes. How did you find it?
I really liked it. I really liked it. And I really disliked it in that I wish that I could say all of those things. Everything he says, I'm like, yeah. I watched the one about Grand Theft Auto 5.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one I watched. And I was like, all right, this guy just loves to moan. And then, and then as I said that, I was like, look who's talking. You, buddy. Every time you open your mouth, you're complaining about something.
Mm.
So then I watched the Injustice. I can't remember what it's called now. Gods Among Us or something like that. You know the DC fighting game. And just so funny. Just but all of the things he said, I was like, I want to say those things. I don't want you to say them. I want to say them. But I also understand now, obviously, why he calls it Zero Punctuation.
It's reviews of video games that are said very fast.
Yeah,
that's the one thing. But he's Yahtzee Croshaw. He's a very intelligent bloke. He's very clever. He's a writer. He's written a couple of books, and he does a sort of podcast on YouTube, which is rather than a let's play, it's a let's drown out. Where he and a friend each week set each other a video game to play, and they play it for just over an hour.
Yeah,
and just talk. They very rarely discuss the game all that much.
Oh, right, okay.
And they just talk over it, which is nice.
I'm gonna have to look into more stuff.
It's hilarious. I wish I had the massive backlog of Zero Punctuations.
That
you now have to watch through, because.
Yeah. I mean, just from the few videos that I watched, I think I only watched about three or four.
Mm.
You know, you can tell he's very smart guy.
He's very intelligent, and it's just super. And I think his favorite thing is just to write. You know, on this podcast thing, all he does is sort of he only ever picks up when he's talking about writing.
Oh right, okay.
Which is nice, but
And I set you YouTube band Voice Avenue.
You did. I like you. I enjoyed them in one part, and I didn't enjoy them so much in another. I'm a little annoyed, a little ashamed to say that the part I enjoyed, which was their original music,
yeah, I like that.
I'm afraid I don't know any individual songs because I was working. Yeah, no. I was working at the time, and I just they have a playlist of their original songs on their channel, and I just put that to play, and I remember, and it was just fantastic. And I was working through, just doing this work, and sort of really, really enjoying the music, very good quality. I'm afraid no. Well, the covers, they're not bad.
Which covers did you listen to?
The covers I listened to, I actually bought a few on iTunes. What were they? Sorry, I'll have to open up iTunes to find them. One was Teenage Dream.
I should have recommended. I should have told you.
See, I went for their covers. I went for a sort of a mixture of the ones that were most popular, on iTunes rating and songs that I enjoy. Where are we? Payphone, We Found Love, Teenage Dream, Jar of Hearts.
Oh, so you picked such bad songs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there you go.
I should have recommended something.
You should have. But those
Fix You by Coldplay, such a good song.
Fix You. Okay, I'll give that one a go. But no, unfortunately, the ones from that my analysis was of each song was that they're very ably performed.
Yes.
You know, it's good, but there was nothing special and nothing stood out about it.
I think what you've done is you've gone for more recent songs as well. The more recent covers they've done, I've found, haven't been as good as what they used to do. But that was before they were writing their own music, because now their own music is, you know, I love their own music. But as I say, their old covers I'm talking probably from sort of starting from about a year and a half ago. That was when they were really good. And their you know, their first lot of covers as well, where they were just doing acoustic, very raw recordings. You know, they're really good, but, I should have recommended some.
I'm sorry. Well, there you go, clearly. I quite enjoyed Payphone. But I would say even that one, I far prefer the original. But, anyway, there you go. So, yeah, no, to sum up, original stuff, great. Covers, fine.
I should have recommended Walk Off the Earth instead.
I do like Walk Off the Earth,
I like Walk Off the Earth. They're one of the few YouTube bands that I look at their covers and I go, oh yeah, yours is way better than the original.
Well, sorry. Talking about YouTube bands, I say my favourite, without a shadow of a doubt, is Pentatonix.
I've listened to Pentatonix. I can't get into it as much.
I understand. The trouble is, it's a cappella, and you either really enjoy a cappella, or it's just
Don't get me wrong. I like a cappella, but I don't like it. I appreciate it. I understand. It's very hard, and I think it. Watching one or two YouTube videos is good, sort of thing. I like that. It's like the whole Glee thing. I like the idea of turning popular songs into that almost choiry sort of like group song thing. Mm. But after two or three Glee songs, I start to realise how manufactured and shit it is. Same with acapella. I just like after two or three songs, I'm starting to think, but I do actually like when violin comes in here or when the guitar.
I understand. Yeah, no, it's but no, the lack of the what the missing instruments do take a toll on acapella. But Pentatonix, I love particularly compared to a lot of acapella groups because they've because basically they've got drum and bass there.
Yeah.
You've got.
I think that's why they work so well.
Yeah, you've got Kevin and Avi. Kevin, who's the beatboxer, is superb, and Avi, I've never heard such a deep, beautiful singing voice.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic and amazing.
But I think that's why they work so well when they work with Lindy Stirling. Sterling because.
Oh yeah, no, no. That I'd say that they've done a couple of songs with her now, and those two are one of my. Radioactive is probably my favourite song of theirs, and my favourite song of Lindsay Sterling's. And I'm a fan of Imagine Dragons anyway, but
yeah,
that cover is brilliant for me. Just love that.
I mean, I think the thing I like about Lindsay Sterling and you know and Pentatonix as well is that I mean both of them are, but both artists are in a genre where they're trying to not be a part of that genre, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So a cappella, but like you say, drum and bass, and they're trying all these different things. And same with Lindsay Sterling, dubstep violin is just. How do you do dubstep violin, you know, and she does it.
It's
she does it very well as well.
Hey, she does. Yeah, Lindsay Sterling is another. Unfortunately, with Lindsay Sterling, although I really, really enjoy a lot of her tracks, I find I do get a bit fatigued with it after two or three tracks.
Yeah.
It'll be a case of, okay, well, that's enough. That's enough dubstep violin for now.
That's the thing. I prefer Lindsay Sterling. Covers to her original stuff.
Yes, not that
I like her original stuff, it is good, but it's like you say, there is a bit of sort of sameness to it, and that's not Lindsay Sterling's fault, that's dubstep's fault.
Yeah. I'd say, I think one of the sort of major selling points of Lindsay Sterling's stuff is, with her original work, is the music videos she does for them.
Yeah,
because a lot of those, you know, they're just as impressive as the music itself.
Yeah.
I mean, the music video for Shadows is
fantastic,
where she's having a sort of brilliant. A violin dance off with her own shadow.
Yeah, no, I really liked that one.
Just
and that's not a bad song either.
No, that's one of her better originals.
But I mean, going off of Lindsay Sterling, have you heard? Piano guys. I think they've been with her not too long ago. I can't remember.
I think I may have heard of them, but I don't know them certainly.
I think they did Mission Impossible with her. And they've just done a new song. Well, I say that they've just released onto YouTube because they've got albums going out now, a Batman melody. And it's basically just like a combination of like three, well, technically four, because they've got like the main motif of Batman that's kind of shown up in most of the films and pretty much all of the animated series. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, they use that as the main motif to get into, but obviously it finishes on the Hans Zimmer stuff with, A Watchful Guardian and Rise, but it's all on piano and cello. So good, really. So,
I'll have to give them a listen.
Surprisingly easy listening, but you know, I find that with a lot of those sort of YouTube sort of like cover artists. But yeah, I highly recommend that. But let's try and move somewhat away from YouTube. Have you experienced, it'd be a shame not to bring it up, have you experienced 4chan?
I have experienced 4chan in very limited doses, but I have. I haven't had the proper 4chan experience, I'd say.
Yeah.
Usually it's a case of if story breaks about pictures of someone or something, and then being outraged about them being online. Yeah. Usually, if it's something I want to see,
not to be too topical.
But if it's something I'm interested in seeing, I'll go to 4chan because it's bound to be up there. Basically,
I've experienced 4chan quite a lot. We started on ImageChan, and then we moved to 9gag, and then. Thankfully, we skipped Reddit and just went straight to 4chan. You know, it's a strange place. The worst thing is, 4chan isn't a bad place. Like, most of the boards are fairly normal. You know, you've got a great fitness board on there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got quite a lot of stuff on there that's really good. And then you've got the random thread, the random board, and that's just fucking scum of the earth.
See, I've not tried that. I'll have to horrify myself and give that a go.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, like one day, instead of giving you a bad movie, I just want you to go on B every day and review that and not say anything bad about it instead of doing a movie. But I'm worried that Alexander might show himself, you know, and nobody wants to see Alexander.
I'm sure there are other things on 4chan that could quieten Alexander.
Well, yeah, probably. Who knows? Should we find out?
Let's go right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, the thing about 4chan is, you know, that, like I said, there's so much about it that's just not controversial or anything like that. When you have stuff go on like what's recently happened and things like that, it does tend to be a bit of a stigma about the whole place. And you know, it essentially, you know, like it's just a funny image board. At its best, at its worst, let's not discuss it. You know, what I mean? but at its best, it's a funny image board.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Are there, not a very neat segue, but here's another topic about the internet. Are there any webcomics you follow?
Yeah, there is. And, I don't follow many.
Mm.
Not because I don't want to, it's just that it's never been something that I'm reading comics.
No.
But there's this one webcomic called Grim Tales from Down Below.
Yes, you introduced me to this at one point.
I loved the concept of it altogether. It was just great. It was just sort of getting all these sort of pre-established, almost like in the same way that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen got all these literary characters and put them into one universe and set them off on their own trail sort of thing, doing their own thing. This has gone, okay, well, what Cartoon Network and Fox Kids characters can we get? and just have them do their own thing. So it's, you know, primarily set in the universe of The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, which I love from a, you know, very early point.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's always stuck with me. It's sort of set in the future of that, and Danny Phantom's in it, and I was always quite a little bit of a fan of Danny Phantom. The big Nightmare Before Christmas segment, and you know, it's really sort of like, it's just fun when you get a new character pop up. But I think the best thing about it is the reinvention of Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory, but also the Powerpuff Girls, and it's just sort of showing them as they're older, and I really like that. That's really fun. But it's a bit dark as well. But then, with that as well, the creator of it then created his own Powerpuff Girls comic. It's called Powerpuff Girls X or something like that. And same sort of thing, but a little bit different, a little bit lighter. But still, you know, still entertaining. And I have looked into You Bought Me a Book for Christmas.
Oglaf,
yeah. I've read a fair few of those now, after obviously reading the book and then looking at it. But as I say, like, it's not one of those things I majorly follow.
No.
I'm more into, like, funny videos, and so, like, I think comics is something I really should get into, because I am trying to learn to draw with a tablet. This is, like, I'd like to be able to write my own webcomic or something like that, you know.
Well, it'd be a good thing to, if you are trying to learn to draw with a tablet, just to start a webcomic. It doesn't necessarily matter if it's any good, but if you get a regular schedule going where, you know, you're doing one or two, you have to do one or two a week,
yeah,
then, you know, it forces you to practice and keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
So that might be worth it for that. I unfortunately can't draw very well at all. I've tried using a tablet once or twice, and I always imagine, oh, it's going to be this amazing thing that allows me my creativity to suddenly burst forth. And no, it's just as crap as when you use a pencil.
This is the thing. I'm really good with a pencil. I can draw. You know, I'm not going to sound like Picasso or anything like that. You know, but I can draw fairly well with a pencil and a pen. There's when it comes to doing it on a tablet and it's on a screen and I just don't have the same control, I feel. You know, I don't have the same texture or the same sort of like, you know, the strength of my brush or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit annoying. But, you know, it's one of those things I'm learning. And I think, I mean, there's another webcomic I follow. I didn't even know it was a webcomic until I saw it in book form, door back room, and it's Anemone.
Oh, yes.
And I, going to work on the train every day, I used to love picking up the Metro and reading the new Nemi strip.
I do enjoy the Nemi strips.
Even though it was a comic until you told me.
Well, no, I don't think it is. It's only really a webcomic in that you can sort of read it on the Metro's website. Yeah. But I don't believe it has its own. I'm not sure. It might have its own website.
I know it's actually foreign, man.
Yeah.
I know it's foreign, but that's something I like. That's not really something I know you follow a lot more sort of webcomics and things like that, but
yeah. Well, there's a few I follow very regularly. I suppose it's worth giving Penny Arcade a mention because these days Penny Arcade's good, but they can be a bit hit and miss. Sometimes, you know, they're always a bit funny. Always got something going for them. But every once in a while, a good Penny Aid comic comes along and just about something that's going on in the video games world.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, I find myself laughing very, very loudly in a public place.
Yeah. I've done that before.
I believe it's when Microsoft announced that you'd now be able to buy the Xbox One without Kinect.
Yeah.
They did a parody of a Microsoft corporate guy announcing, "Hi there, we've been listening to our fans and we've decided that you know we'll now allow our fans to be able to buy the Xbox One without herpes. We know there are a lot of fans of herpes out there, but we also know that not everyone's ready for herpes just yet. So if you want to buy the Xbox One without herpes, and then maybe move on to it later, you can buy herpes separately."
That's Penny Arcade.
Sorry?
That's Penny Arcade.
That's Penny Arcade, yeah.
I'm
They're worth giving a watch. They do a comic strip. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So 3 a week. Which is nice just to give yourself a bit of a giggle. Then the other ones I follow are Questionable Content, which is probably the most famous slice of life webcomics out there, which tells its own story, got its own characters. And I've been following that for quite a while now, a good 3, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. It's got very well established characters and their journey through their late 20s, I think it is, or mid to late 20s, and it's really nice. It's been going. It's got about a little over 2,000 strips now, and I think it's been going for years and years. But the story's only gone sort of about a year since the beginning, or a year and a half since the beginning. But it's a lot of fun. It's got, you know, your funny characters and it's interesting if you start from the beginning, the comic starts out very, very basic, but it's nice to see a very natural evolution of the designs of the characters.
Yeah.
They start to standardize about about at issue 500, and then they've just sort of carried on from there and got in more and more detail. But the first 500, it's very interesting to see the design evolution. Then another favorite of mine is Girls with Slingshots.
I've seen Girls with Slingshots before.
Girls with Slingshots.
I'm not sure whether you showed it me or whether Sophie showed it me. Sophie likes that webcomic.
Girls with Slingshots is great in that I think it's another slice of life webcomic, but it was originally when it was started was going to be a superhero story.
All right.
The two main characters were going to get these sort of angel wings and slingshots that they go around fighting bad guys with, or possibly fighting social injustice with, I'm not sure. In the end, as it was going along, the creator of it just much preferred it as a slice of life and decided to keep it that way.
That's cool.
Which is good, and it's great, and unfortunately, it's a bit like Questionable Content has developed the problem of, even though it comes out 5 days a week, there's too many characters and that many storylines now that it takes a long time to get through all the storylines.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem with Grim Tales from Down Below. You know, it's been going. I probably found it in 2011.
Yeah.
No, that's like 3 years ago, and even now there's only been like really so there's been one mini story and two big stories. He's on to his third story now.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, they're good and they're intricate and there's a lot going on. I just kind of feel like I want a little bit more, you know. I'd like to see more about what these guys do, see, you know, sort of like what else is going on, you know. But obviously, I'm happy with where it's going now, sort of thing. So, but it is sad when you see that there's not, you know, stuff isn't progressing as you'd like it to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was following a guy on YouTube for a while, and it was the same sort of thing in that, I think it was a point where he was doing, he was doing a gym challenge, and he was vlogging himself every day. And even though you're getting this daily sort of update of what's going on and everything, because they're so transfixed on one thing, the other things that you're missing are trying the things you want.
Yeah.
So there's just no progression that way. And so, like, what me and probably what a lot of other people wanted to see was sort of like, we find him through his cat, because his cats have got their own YouTube channel as well. But, you know, I followed him, and he's a really funny guy, and everything. He's been in the news recently because he went to a frozen lake and he was skipping stones, and then sort of this video of him skipping stones at frozen lake because of the noise the stone makes on frozen water.
Mm.
It's gone viral. So he's quite popular again at the moment. But, you know, like, what we wanted to see was more of a progression with his relationship and with his cats and what he was trying to show us, him at the gym. Which, you know, it's all going well if you're looking to get fit, but at the time I wasn't looking to get fit. I was just feeling really bad every time I watched it because I'm just looking at myself and going, But I mean, I don't think we can do an internet, you know, chat. And I know we've already talked about it a couple of vlogs ago, but we can't do an internet chat without talking about Harry Partridge.
Oh God, yes.
I mean, I did watch that video you asked me to watch the other day about his update and saying like there was no animation, but there was a few sort of like pictures that went with the images, and it wasn't really funny. I'm of the people. I know there's obviously going to be a fair few people who watch that and are like, oh, you had time to do this video, but you haven't got time to sort of write. Blah blah and
make
blah.
Make a video, yeah.
You know, you haven't got time to do any of the Starbarians, but as he explained in the last video, it takes him a long time to do those videos. You know. I'm of the crowd that appreciates that it takes a long time to do.
Oh yeah, no, I'd much rather him take all the time he needs and yeah. have his stuff be really excellent, you know, which it is, and which he does.
Three or four videos a year, sort of thing, and they're all good quality.
They're all, yeah.
Then sort of like three or four videos a month, and they're all shite.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But, I mean, I don't think I talked about, I think I told you, but I don't think I mentioned on the blog. I've got Sophie to watch Dr. D. and I think I got her to watch Dr. D's after we talked about it on the blog. And she just didn't appreciate it. She did not appreciate it at all. I'm sorry to say that she did sort of be like, she was a bit like, what's happening? This is just awful. And I was like, no, it's not, it's hilarious.
It is a weird construct of he does the sort of quite absurdist humor very well.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's not for everyone.
No.
And Dr. B's is possibly the most absurd he's ever done.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It is a plane. Scary.
Dr. B's.
So stupid. So funny. But, I mean, like, I think if one were to sort of, like, judge how, you know, what style of humour Harry Partridge really is, I'd get them to watch the Justin Bieber show.
Oh, yes.
Because that just completely encompasses how fucking weird
that,
he is.
That very you much...
know, hilarious.
That very much nails the tone.
Yeah.
But then again, he's not always like that. I mean...
Oh, that's the thing.
You mentioned the Starbarians.
That's a lot different.
They're very different. They're very much sort of crude, dumb, big, funny jokes, which are great.
Yeah. And he's got the Elder Scrolls ones as well that I like. I was, you know, it wasn't the best, but I still liked his most recent one about Elder Scrolls Online. Wasn't as good as the other one.
Yeah, no. Unfortunately, with the other ones being so good, then that one didn't quite hit the mark well enough, which is a shame. But I
think the liked about it was I saw that one before I saw the others, that was an opening for me.
In which case, you were very fortunate. Yeah,
the others were really good, and that one was good as well. But it was just I saw it in what I would deem the right order.
Yeah,
you saw it in the wrong order, unfortunately. You know.
I think my favourite of the Elder Scrolls ones he does has to be the Dover Kids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Laughter and fun in the Nordland of Skyrim.
No, I do like that. I wish that there were more sort of things like that. You know, sort of like taking something quite, because obviously he did Saturday Morning Watchmen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just more stuff like that. Not necessarily from Harry Partridge, just in general. More stuff like that, where you see sort of really serious content remade for 90s Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes.
I wish that was a trend.
There should definitely be much more Saturday morning cartoon versions of serious things. You're quite right.
I saw a 90s intro to what would be Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, that.
And it was just sort of like proper, like, frenzy, rippy, sort of like cheers and everything like that, really stupid.
Yeah.
That was quite funny, but I think the funniest thing I've seen with Game of Thrones is the bad lip reading of it.
Oh, bad lip reading.
Fantastic. That was so, like, a 5-minute video with completely reinvented it as something like Happy Fun Time Medieval.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, really, really superb. The bad lip reading, all the bad lip reading stuff, but that especially, just beautiful.
Yeah, I think with the bad lip reading, you've got a lot of sports things and things like that, and that, you know, they're funny and everything, but there's no like real story to it. It's just it looks like he's saying the word cocaine there and stuff like that.
Mm.
But with that, he's just completely come up with a whole new story. All new characters, and he's kept each character as well all the way through. Like, they haven't changed the voices. You know, Tyrion is now this sort of like ghetto sort of guy. You know, when he goes to slap Joffrey, he's holding his hand up. And he says, "Do you think they should make iPhones for babies? Because I do." And that's what he's saying. And those are the words coming out of his mouth now. You know. Yep. I'm making the list now. Like, I've got Penny Arcade, which is already up on my screen, and I've got I've got to watch that Game of Thrones video again.
Yeah.
Just quickly before we carry on, do a pause here because I'm about to get that knock on the door.
Okay.
Just gonna pause here. I'm gonna go tell Sophie. I'll be a few more minutes. And then just cut this out. And then, yeah. 2 seconds.
No worries.
Hey, Anna. Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Yep. Should we do the feature now?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, internet wise, I want to talk about. No, I suppose other than news websites and things. Okay, yeah, no, we'll go. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so last week you set me a challenge.
Forward to this.
To watch a certain film.
Yep.
And that film was Wild Child.
Now, I don't really know the film all that well. From what I gather, the film is about a girl who, she's an American, she gets sent to an English boarding school. That is all I know. Is that true?
You are breaking it down to the bare basics, because this isn't just a story about a girl going to school. This is a story of redemption. It's a story of prejudice.
You're saying this through your teeth. I can hear it.
It's a story that
is it a classic
that makes you stop and think.
Yeah.
Okay. It truly is a classic, and it has personal connections for me.
Obviously,
because I went to boarding school. But not only that, the boarding school I went to actually features in a minor way in the film.
Oh, really?
It does indeed. Okay.
Go on. How so?
Well, we'll get to that. That comes right to the end of the film. Let me take you through a bit of a summary.
Okay.
So, our main character is a girl called Poppy. She lives in Los Angeles with her sister and her father.
Okay.
Her mother has died a few years ago, and uh oh, her father's got a new girlfriend, and the new girlfriend, they're not married yet. But the new girlfriend, girlfriend is moving in.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. So, Poppy isn't sure what to do about this until, you know, she hits on the idea that when the moving van comes, she'll get all her friends around to come and steal things from the moving van, anything they want.
Well, that would be the natural progression.
And then she herself. Grabs a load of bits of clothes and jumps into the sea with them.
Oh, that should do.
As you do. I mean, it's.
Is the sea local, or did she have to go quite far?
No. She's got a horizon pool, and she jumps. Oh. She decided to skip the pool and go straight off the cliff. And cool. You know, and this is the natural reaction anyone would have. I mean, I think it shows the bravery. Of someone who's being pressured into a situation they don't feel comfortable with, and the main character taking a stand and saying no, this I won't accept this.
Okay, you know. And did you personally agree with all the decisions she made?
Well, you see, it's a tough one, because I've never been in a situation like that myself before.
So it's good research for if you ever are. Would you do exactly what she did if you were in that situation?
I can't say anything bad now.
I think
rather than just inviting all my friends around to steal items of my stepmother-in-law to be, I would probably go more around the prankster route. I think I'd more sort of dog turds in her shoes, that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know.
Little bit more sort of like, you know, like, you know, you get away with it, sort of thing. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we our hero then is told by her father that she's going to England to boarding school.
Okay.
Because she's so badly behaved, and this has clearly been something that's been threatened before and never followed through, and then she arrives, and you know it breaks your heart the way they treat her there.
Yeah,
I mean, can you imagine going to school and only being allowed your phone on the weekends?
Wow.
And having to wear a uniform 5 days a week, and then. Wow. And then, not only that, having your weekend home clothes privileges taken away.
Oh, why?
And just because you tried to make a phone call on your mobile phone. Just because of that, you're forced to then wear your school clothes on the weekend.
That is an oppressive regime.
It is. It's truly, truly horrific, the situations that she goes through, and naturally she's very defensive, and doesn't open up to the other girls, you know, and some of them do make the effort, fair enough, but in the end she decides that you know this isn't the place for her.
Yeah.
So the only way that she can get out, because her father won't let her out, and you know they won't just let her leave, is that she'll have to get herself expelled.
Okay.
And so you know we have various pranks of one another, and then you know there's a true story of friendship and camaraderie when you know the other girls in her dormitory help her. To try and get expelled,
yeah.
But then they all realise that they like each other too much.
Alright.
Does she
stay in the end? Does she?
In the end, she decides that she does want to stay, but shock.
Yeah.
The mean head girl, who's always been putting her down.
Naturally.
Finds her old emails that she wrote when she first got to the school.
All
the nasty things she said about the other girls there. And what does she do? She prints them out and gives them and slips them under the doors of all her friends. Mm-hmm. Then not only this, she's then framed for arson.
A murder.
A murder, you say?
She's framed for arson.
She's framed for arson, and it turns out it's the head girl. And you know, this is one part where the boarding school that they've set up doesn't quite ring true to me. Not that it's bad, but it differs from my own experience of boarding school in that rather than someone just being sent to the head.
Just to interrupt for a second. Weren't you head girl?
I wasn't head girl.
You weren't head girl.
I wasn't head girl at my okay. at either of the boarding schools I attended. I was not head girl.
Ah, I see. Right. Well, I was under the impression that you were head girl. So, you learn something new every day. So, tell me about your experience in relation to this film.
Well, in my experience, not that I was ever expelled, but in boarding schools, if someone is expelled after doing something bad. They're sent to the headmaster. The headmaster tells them they've done something bad, and they're expelled. Uh-huh. No, not in this school. They hold... And forgive me, I cannot remember the name of what they call. They hold basically a school court. where the whole school is present, and the headmistress sits as judge, and cases are made for and against the proposed expulsion.
Well, naturally.
And of course, in the end, it all happily it comes out that the head girl who is arguing the case for the prosecution. It turns out that she was the one, in fact, who set the fire.
So, is there another, like, is there a sequel where it's her tribunal? Or?
No. She, I believe, is expelled forthwith. But
I find it hard to believe that the American, the foreigner, got a trial, but the English.
Well, it may well have she may well have done. But we don't see it, sadly.
Okay. And what are your views on the acting?
Oh, sterling performances from everyone. Did you? I'll bet you didn't know that Nicholas Frost stars in this movie.
Does he?
He does indeed. He plays a homosexual hairdresser who frees Poppy from her dyed hair, and she decides to ditch the bleach blonde and go back to brunette.
Oh.
And see, I didn't know that one could simply visit the hairdressers and they could remove the bleach and dye from your hair.
Well, you know, you learn something new every day, clearly. What? I'm really trying to get a rise out of you, and it's not working. What were your views on the teachers in school? Were they portrayed correctly, do you feel?
Well, do you know, a film has to have some comedy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A film is really, comedy is very, very important in a film. There aren't a huge amount of the teachers featured in the film,
yeah.
But you do have the languages teacher, who, forgive me, I forget his name, the man who, I believe it's the man who plays, my stupid brain is, oh, you know, the second bad guy from Captain America.
Oh, Richard Armitage.
No.
Doran Oakenshield. Oh, no. Toby Jones. I'm Zola.
Yes, that's it.
I was thinking Toby British James. People. Toby Jones. Well, you know, he plays
a wacky French teacher who's a bit hopeless with love, you know? He tells the girls about his holiday to France with his girlfriend or his ex girlfriend now, sadly. And you also have you have the strict Scottish matron.
Okay, yeah.
Played by I forget her name too. The woman who played Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah. And she's very entertaining.
Yeah. Okay, so rate the film out of 10 then.
Oh, it's got honest, to be it's honest. Got to be 12 gold stars out of 10. for not only for the realism in the boarding school, for the tale of redemption, the blossoming, I would call it a rebirth. The characters has a rebirth of like a phoenix.
Okay.
Her old self slowly comes apart and falls away, and a new her rises from the ashes in a ball of flame, to emerge at the end of the film victorious over victorious in a lacrosse match against Stowe School that I attended.
Oh, and that's where Stowe comes in.
That is where Stowe School that I attended comes in. The final of the girls lacrosse cup is against Stowe, and to be fair to the Stowe girls, they do well, you know, at half time the Stowe is 2-0 up, but then Poppy and the other girls in her lacrosse team during half time perform a stirring dance to gear themselves up.
Uh-huh.
And it pushes them forwards to score the 3 goals they need to win the match.
Okay. And now that the review is over, honestly, how bad was the film?
Am I released?
Yeah, you can tell the truth. You can tell the truth, man. How bad was the film?
It wasn't good.
And how was the portrayal of Maud?
You know what? It wasn't the boarding school portrayal wasn't terrible. The dormitory situation was fairly realistic. The saying grace before eating meals. My first boarding school did that. Stowe didn't do that purely because there were too many people to all needing food at once. But I suppose if everyone had sort of been standing,
yeah.
But things like mobile phones and home clothes at weekends.
Yeah.
Limited access to computers and that sort of thing. In that sense, it was fairly realistic. As I say, the one thing that was utterly bizarre was the whole courtroom thing.
Yeah.
If I'm totally honest, it wasn't nearly as bad as I was expecting.
I think that's
not
how I felt about Bionicle.
I think not nearly as bad. It's the main character is fairly sort of horrible Los Angeles stereotype girl to begin, but to be honest, at the end of the film, she does turn into a sort of a slightly likable character.
Slightly.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed. and neither would the love interest.
The love interest. You didn't mention there was a love
interest. Oh, sorry, the love interest. Well, he's the son of the headmistress.
Of course.
And he was expelled for fraternizing with a girl from one of his schools. One of the plans to get her expelled is to kiss him in front of everyone. One of the plans is to kiss him in front of everyone. But they plan to do it at a school social when they're dancing with boys anyway. And so you're not going to get expelled for kissing a boy you're dancing with. But oh well.
And what film have you chosen for me?
The film.
I'm going to set this up for everyone as well because it seems like it could be quite a bit of a song and dance.
The film I've chosen for you, it's a film I saw, it's a film called The Secret Treasure of Machu Picchu.
Okay.
Which you may now Google. I was slightly hesitant to give you another animated one straight off the bat, but I think this one is really worth it. And
Secret Treasure of Machu Picchu. Oh, good God.
And you know what? I feel that Bionicle probably wasn't bad enough. That Bionicle, the animation isn't terrible.
It's quite good,
you can tell what's going on. You know, they spent a bit of money on it. But I thought no it has to be something low budget, super low budget.
Well, I mean, straight away I can see it's only 45 minutes long, which says a lot.
Well, having a little behind the magician's cloth here. I couldn't find the movie online anywhere, so I actually bought Tom the DVD. Which will be winging its way to his house in the next day or so, and I do hope if there are any, you'll explore any DVD features.
Oh, I will.
That there are, and
there's a DVD commentary.
I don't know what you can comment on that film. I'm
really looking forward to it. Because the stakes have been raised. So
I'm not looking forward to whatever you choose for me next week.
You know what? It might not be that bad. It might not be that bad. I might just save a really bad one and just pull it out. You'd be like, whoa, what? I've done this, that, and I'll go, the secret of Machu Picchu, that's what you do.
Well, now, wait and see. I think...
Yeah, it might not be awful. It might not be awful. But just remember that Mike Myers made a film called The Love Guru.
I watched that. I saw that when I was little. Sorry. I'm thinking of the one. There was one a couple of years before that, just called The Guru.
Guru, yeah.
No, I saw that
one. Mike Myers did one called The Love Guru.
I didn't see the Mike Myers.
Hour and a half shambles of racism and no plot. I've seen it.
Well,
I'm saving it for you, buddy. I'm saving it for a really bad day. And then on that day, I'm going to go, you know what, Alex, I'm having a really bad day, so today you're going to have to watch. Well, okay then. Is the internet covered? That is our feature. I will be watching The Secret of Machu Picchu this week. You know what's annoying? At least with Bionicle, it was like an hour and a bit long, so, because I was doing my weights training at the same time, and so I got a good hour, I think it was about an hour and a half workout. Would this money give you 45 minutes? I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it twice.
Oh, if you can make it through that film twice, then I salute you.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think we all are. So yeah. That's the end of this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening, as always. You can send us an email to thetagpodcast@gmail.com or check out our website, thetagpodcast.wordpress.com. Let us know if you've any comments.
Not that. We might read out.
Yeah, so ask us a question. Send us an email and ask us a question and we'll answer it.
We might just save up like a load of questions if we can get them all from the same person, obviously. and just have sort of like a session in a couple of months where we just answer all the questions.
That's not a bad idea. To our one confirmed regular listener.
Yeah.
Why not send us a few questions for us to go through?
Make them as awkward and as silly as you want, but we'll answer every question. Okay.
The answer to some of them definitely has to be my grandmother.
Oh, grandmother. Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
Potter Puppet Girls. You know what?
The internet's a big thing. The next internet podcast we do.
Yeah. Right. Okie dokie.
Thank you for listening.
All the best. Not sure what the topic next week will be exactly yet, but you'll find out when you download it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.